Hello, Janet. This is Michael Criswell with Relentless Heart. I was sitting in my tiny house taking a little lunch break from my labors today, and I checked my email, and I saw your very sad email. And I wanted to take a few minutes, and I've prayed and asked the Lord to please help me to encourage you today. And I wanted to just reach out, and hopefully you'll be able to listen to this recording and not only pray for you, but to just share a few insights, if you'd be willing to hear them, about how our Heavenly Father typically sees these painful situations like this that we go through. And I want you to know that I very much, as a parent of five children, I can very much empathize with you, the pain and the feeling of loss and the fear of not knowing where your children are at or not even being able to see them for such a long period of time. In fact, Janet, just this past August was the 5th year anniversary since I have not seen any of my five beautiful children. So I'm speaking to you from experience, dear sister. I know exactly what this feels like. And I've just recently gotten to the part in my autobiography where God asks of me the unthinkable in my natural self. Essentially, not only am I lost everything at that point in time, but now God is asking me to leave and move in with my parents in Alabama, giving me the peace to go, opening up the circumstances to make it so that I will go. And basically, that means I'm leaving my children behind. And I had like 24 hours to sit down and look all of my small little children in the eyes between the ages of 9 and 4 years old, five of them, and looked at them and tried to explain them that daddy's having to leave. And it was just, it was a horrible experience to have to go through. But God gave me grace. And then when I'm driving down the road, I began to question and I kind of got mad at God a little bit. And I said, now, Lord, I understand the losing everything. I've read stories of people losing everything. And I know this is for my good. But God, how could you possibly expect me to lose these kids like this and to leave them in this situation where this woman who claims to be a Christ follower is so filled with hypocrisy and is capable of this kind of evil, Lord, how could you possibly want me to leave these children in that situation? I don't understand it. I said, Lord, how will they ever know what it means to be a Christ follower? Who will teach them about the Bible and your ways but me? There's nobody else in the family that knows the Lord. God, how? Why? And Janet, as I'm death gripping the steering wheel of a moving truck with everything I last owned in the back, headed off 600 miles away, every click, 1 mile further away from my children, God speaks two words to me, two words to my heart. And I really believe God is speaking those same words to you right now through me. The two words that God spoke so powerfully to my spirit, as if they were audible, was, trust me. Trust me. Janet, whether it is children or a spouse or your own life, possessions, homes, careers, family members, friends, associates, colleagues, no matter what it is that pains us, the first step towards being able to walk this out with some sense of dignity and to actually experience God's purpose for this good, although painful thing, starts with taking the first step on trusting God. Every single thing that I have experienced in my life, in my ministry, every single loss that I've ever gone through, every single great miracle that I've ever seen, have all been wrought in my life as a single side effect, if you will, of me trusting him, even when it made no sense, even when it was hurtful. Our entire Christian life is based on faith. The Bible says that the righteous, meaning those who are considered to be standing right before God, justified as you are good with me, are those who live by faith. And the life of faith, Janet, just as a reminder, we place entirely too much importance from Father's perspective on the things in this earth. You know, when we become a Christian, whether we've been a Christian for 30 years or for 30 days, there is two parts of us. the carnal part and the spiritual part. And as we move more and more towards the spiritual, we loosen our grip on the things that are here. And we begin to see Jesus Christ and his work on the cross and his work to save us and to redeem us and his presence and his person and his power and his grace and his favor and his wisdom. We begin to see him and God our Father as the ultimate objects of our faith, such that we can say, oh Lord, apart from you, I have no good thing. Sister, you may not be able to say that right now because you're very upset about your children, your boys. I understand that. But I can tell you and testify to you before heaven and earth in the name of Jesus Christ that it is absolutely possible in this life to possess such a trust in God and to enjoy such a powerful experience of faith that no matter what God is pleased to allow to be taken out of your life, be it temporarily or forever, you can say just like Job did in Job chapter 1, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have learned how to say that. I've had much loss in my life. Many things I don't even share on my YouTube channel. I've gone through quite a bit of loss in all kinds of different ways. And I'm telling you that I have found this one principle that seems to exist in the lives of all of the great saints that I've had the good pleasure of learning about or reading about in my walk. There's this one principle that applies to what I'm talking with you about right now that comes up over and over and over again in the lives of those who truly know and walk with their God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, they understand that God is completely sovereign and completely in control, in charge of all people and all circumstances on earth, and that nothing can be done to them, given to them, or taken away from them apart from the will of God Almighty. They have actually learned to quote the words of Hudson Taylor, that God is my one great circumstance in life. All other lesser circumstances are either the very best or wisest things for me because they are either caused by or permitted by God to happen in my life. And I am telling you, sister, these are very, very true words. You may not be able to feel them today. You may not be able to feel them. The weight of these children in your heart may just be too much, that what I'm saying to you is there's a great chasm that seems fixed between where I'm speaking about a father who's been without his children for 5 years and yet who still testifies to the joy and the peace that comes from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and his sovereignty. Getting to that place in my life where I recognize there is nobody that can do anything to me or to my children that God is not pleased to allow. And so when I know that my Father in heaven is love, the Bible says God is love. And when I know that I see that it pains him and it doesn't bring him any pleasure even to discipline or to destroy the wicked. The Bible says he takes no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. That's a good God. He still will judge those who have rebelled against him, right? But he doesn't take any pleasure in it. God is a God of love. And I also know that God is able. God is wise. God is omniscient. God is all-seeing. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. He's sovereign. He's in control of everything. So if I know that I have a Father in heaven by faith, I can't see him. Oh, I know him by experience through my faith. My faith has given me experiences that everything I'm telling you is true, just like everything the Bible tells us is true. But if I know by faith that God is love and God is sovereign, meaning in control of everything, and he's working all things together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Sister, I may not like the circumstance. I may not understand it. I may lament it, but I can accept it. And I believe in faith. God is love and God is in control. And if he's choosing to allow this to happen, because we have to ask this question. When we faced with a terrible loss in our life or a disappointment, we have to ask ourselves, is the God we believe in, is the God of the Bible, is he capable of having changed those circumstances? Could he have averted that disaster? Could he have stopped your children from disappearing? Could he? Is he? Or is he just some kind of a mamsy-pamsy, wimpy God? The Bible says, God says of himself to Moses, is the arm of the Lord too short? And Jesus said, if you can, to the man who asks about delivering his demon-possessed son, Jesus, the man says, if you can do anything. And Jesus says to him, if you can, he says, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. God honors faith. God honors faith. So we have to ask ourselves, could God have changed it? Yes or no? And so then we have to conclude, if God did not change it, and God is a God of love, he's not up there trying to zap people with a bug zapper, and this isn't some just big game of how much suffering he can bring into our lives, but that he has some good purpose. And then we can recognize throughout 2,000 years of history that God's purposes and God's ways are exercised in direct opposite ways that we would act. God's ways are so much higher than our ways, just as it says that the clouds are higher than the earth, the heavens are higher than the earth. His ways are that much higher. His thoughts are that much higher than ours. So we have a tendency to try to say, God, why would you do this? Because I wouldn't do this. See, I wouldn't have allowed an ex-wife to have gotten away with as much injustice in my life as she did. I wouldn't have allowed her to take five kids from a father who loves them dearly and who really was their only light on the gospel, only biblical example, only person that knew God enough to even teach them about. See, I wouldn't have allowed that to happen. I would have saved it all. I would have put her in her place. I would have brought justice. I would have been absolutely certain those kids never missed a day without their father. See, that's why I'm not God. Lord had much better plans in store that I didn't know, Janet. And God turned all that evil and all that darkness and all that pain and all that loss totally around for my good, such that just this morning, long before I knew you were going to send me an email today or that I would make a recording to you, I'm in this tiny house walking back and forth, praising my Father in heaven for all that he has allowed in my life over the years. Janet, just giving him thanks, just praising him for being so wise, so faithful to do what I couldn't see then, the heart surgery, to get me to a position where I would loose my grip on all the things in this life that I thought were so much more important than God. And Janet, I know right now you might be saying, but Michael, these aren't things and jobs and careers and houses and stuff. Lord, I mean, Michael, these are our children, okay? Do you know, Janet, that our Father, many, many times our Father in heaven, and even though he's the one that gave us the ability to create children, many times the Lord Jesus Christ is jealous of our own children. I know in the lives of many women, and it's hard because God used you to bring birth, to bring those humans on the planet. But I hope it helps you to remember that you couldn't have done it without God, and that God does not have grandchildren. God does not have grandchildren, Janet. Your boys are not God's grandchildren. They are directly belonging to God Almighty. And now I ask you, if the Bible says that the Lord owns all of the cattle on every hill, and he says to Job, who can say to me, I owe him anything? And if God is in control and the owner and creator of everything, all things being made by him, for him, and through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, how shall we then turn to God and say, this is mine? I want this to be the outcome of this situation, particularly when we're speaking about another human being who has a soul. You know, I was taken away from my children. My children see this, that their father was taken away from them. But they've heard me say over and over again, guys, don't give up. Don't quit trusting in God. You will see that Father has a very, very good purpose for this. And I'm choosing to believe and see God in this rather than to see hopelessness and doom and darkness. I'm choosing to believe that for 2,000 years of Christian history, God has worked exact opposite the way we hoped he would. And yet he brings about this glorious, glorious testimony for his name. And more importantly, He opens up a pathway in our heart for us to know him in preparation for heaven in ways that would have never been possible, Janet, unless he allowed these difficulties. And here's one of the biggest things. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that God has caused to live in us, envies intensely. It may be very difficult to understand, but I know that God is jealous many, many, many times of children. You might say, well, God, Michael, this is very extreme for him to have done something like this. Would God really take away my children? Without a doubt, God may have done this for a reason. Janet, it's very possible the Father may be working to help you in your heart to know him in a way you've never dreamed possible because you've had too tight of a grip on your children. You know, as I sat down and asked the Lord to please give me some bread from heaven for you to encourage you, the Lord brought to mind Elkanah and his wife, Hannah, in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. And you may recall, that's the story of a woman who so desperately wanted to have children. And for years, the Bible said she's being made fun of by the other maidens around because she's still unable to provide Elkanah with an offspring. And she's praying and crying and sobbing. And this goes on year after year. And one time, Elkanah, her husband, looks at her and says, am I not worth or am I not more valuable to you than 10 sons? Now, if a husband on earth could look at his wife and rightly say, am I not worth more to you than 10 sons? How much more can the Heavenly Father, the creator of that man and the Lord Jesus Christ, look at you and me, Janet, and say, am I not worth far more than 20 sons? 100 sons? See, Janet, many of us cannot say that yet, but that's what God wants us to be able to say, and not to be able to say it because we're putting it on or we're faking it until we're making it. That is the reality that our Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, wants to work into our hearts. He wants us to be free to have an open-handed existence before him such that we can look at him and say, God, you are my everything. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I seek you. My mind and heart are on things above, not on things below. And Lord, I love my children. I thank you for giving to me as long as you have. Thank you for allowing me the miracle of birth. But God, these children belong to you, and I want you to do with your property, your creation, what you want to do. Father, if you want to take them, so be it. If it's been your good pleasure, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I don't like it, but I love you. It doesn't bring me peace to think about those boys being wherever they are, but I trust you. And the Bible says to me, be anxious for nothing. For nothing. Is worrying about children included in that nothing? Absolutely. No matter what the circumstances are, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, including the loss of children, but in everything with prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving to God, submit your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I chose to trust God driving down that highway, Janet. I chose to death grip the steering wheel, and I said, okay, God, I don't understand it. Janet, you know how many times I've had to say to the Father or to people around me, I don't understand it. I'm telling you, I now stand here today telling you, I wish there were more things that God would ask me to do. And in fact, he is. He's asking me probably some things right now that I could say, Lord, I don't understand it, or I don't know, but I trust you. This is walking by faith that pleases God. This is true security and true peace, dwelling in the shelter of the Most High God. Psalm 91:1. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:4, Janet, it says that God, we know, works out every single thing according to his own ends. Romans 8:28, we know that God is engineering the circumstances and working out all things together for the good to those who love him. Dear sister, if God is jealous of you, loving your children that much, you cannot be surprised if he does something like this to loosen up your grip. Because I tell you the truth, by God doing that, he changes your focus, breaks you from the idolatry, which is so easily done. Look at what the words of Jesus are. Anyone who comes to me and loves his mother or father more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his brother or sister's wife or children more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his own life is not worthy of me. Jesus said, anyone who comes to me and does not hate, he says it again, he says, does not hate mother and father, brother and sister, children and wives, he says, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus is jealous. And I ask you, Janet, does Jesus deserve to be jealous over you, the one he made? Does he deserve to have your heart front and center? Does he deserve to have your allegiance? Does he deserve to have your passion and your focus? Does he deserve to be jealous after what he did for you and I on the cross? And then for him to look down upon us from heaven, as the Bible says, he and a great cloud of witnesses do in Hebrews 12. And to see you and I with heart passions and heartbeats and tears for things or people on the earth more than God. Does Jesus not look at us and say, oh, Janet, am I not worth more to you than 20 sons? Oh, Michael, am I not worth more to you than 15 children? Janet, I can tell you my experience is the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love him with every single thing I have in my heart. He's been so good to me. He has not operated in my life the way I would have. He has not done the things I would have done. He's not answered the prayers I would have answered. He's not stopped the pain I would have stopped. Oh, but what he has done is worked into me a depth of character, a depth of faith, a depth of trust, and a position of weakness and humility such that I get to walk before my Father in heaven, being filled every day with his grace and his Holy Spirit, with his presence, knowing no matter where I go, there he is with me. No matter where I am, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit living inside of me, greater is he that is in me than he or anything or anybody in this world. This is what God wants to work into our lives, Janet. And believe it or not, again, I know it's hard to hear, sister. I understand it. I know. But children can very much become idols in our lives. And I really believe that's what Father sees in your life. And he wants you to loosen up your grip. It's so difficult for us with five senses and human beings, and we're taught by this world that the greatest thing you can become is a loving parent who's willing to give up your life for your children. But that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says the greatest person you can become is to shrink from loving your life, hate your life in this world, and to lose your life in order to find it, and to give up everything that may be required of you in order to know and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Sister, we're playing for eternity. God is playing for eternity. I don't mean to use the word playing, but what I mean is he's working in our lives and hearts and circumstances for eternity. This is very serious. And when you and I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to give an account of our heart passions. And he's going to want to know, did you follow Mark 12, 30 through 31, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Will he be able to convict us as guilty of that? Or will he look at our lives and say, you know, Michael, Janet, you had passions outside of me that ruled your life, that were very idolatrous, and that prevented me from having you the way I wanted to have you? God forbid. God forbid. The man who loses his life for my sake will find it. The man who finds his life will lose it. These are the words of Jesus. He wants you to know him, Janet. He wants for you to know that he knows you, and he's jealous for you, and he's jealous for me. He's jealous for all of those who've been called according to his purpose. I want to encourage you to let these children go and stop trying to control the outcome. It is the wise words of Madame Guillot who points out that we do not want to be controlled by God. And this is one of the biggest mistakes we make. We want to direct God instead of allowing him to direct us. We want to tell God and impose on him what we think should be done. And think about how foolish that is, Janet. It makes sense to your five senses. It makes sense to your heart as a mom to feel and to be depressed and to cry and sob. It does not make sense in the kingdom of God. Everything is reverse. In the kingdom of God, when you are walking by the Spirit and in faith, you can say again, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can say, even though he slay me, yet will I praise him. God is good, sister, I can tell you. Everything he's done in my life has not looked good, but it has all been for my good and for his glory. Think about it. If what I was saying to you today was not my experience or it was not true, dear sister, you would have never reached out to me. But why did you send the email to me? Because something in you tells you that you know that I understand what you're going through and that I have found relief. I have found help. I have found the Lord's answer in purpose in this. And I'm telling you the truth. Just surrender. Be willing to sacrifice anyone and anything to know this God and trust him with the outcome. Let him have his way with your boys. Let them go and run. You can never imagine what God may be doing in them. Supposing your two boys right now were running prodigal. Okay? Supposing your two boys were out running prodigal and doing things that if you saw, it would give you a heart attack or a stroke. But Father looks at it and sees the filth they're rolling in. And he knows that a Luke 7:47 day is coming. When he will look at your boys and your boys will look at him. And he will be able to say to them, their many sins have been forgiven because they loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. What if Father is choosing to allow them to go roll in the filth and to get as nasty and as just worldly and as polluted and perverted and nasty as they can, just make it up as bad as you can imagine it, so that he can one day have the good pleasure of watching these boys humble themselves before him, God Almighty, as sinners who need redeemed, sinners who need salvation, two young men who desperately need the mercy of God. One of the greatest works God did in my life this year, Janet, I'll end with this, was to help me to remember and to even know at a greater level how desperate I am in need of his salvation. How in me, that is in my sinful nature, there is no good thing. It creates humility. When a man goes out and stumbles and lives and gives full vent to sin, and if God by the Holy Spirit brings conviction, there's tremendous humility that produces God's mercy in that person's life. And I say praise God for that. Remember, God's working for eternity. We're working for the here and now. He has totally different agenda than we do. I just want to challenge you, and I'm going to pray for you and ask that God will bless you with this. Father, I thank you so much that Janet reached out today. And I thank you so much that I'm getting ready to tell her before you now what I almost forgot to mention, which I think is special. Father, I thank you that after one whole year of rest, where you called me out of the ministry and did not permit me to help a single person other than maybe one or two people that I came across in my real life here and there. But you never allowed me to make any recordings, to email people back any encouragement. God, I thank you on behalf of Janet that you chose her, of all people, you chose her to be the very first person this year that you're allowing me to go back to serving you and to washing the dirty feet of your children who are in need and to encourage them, lifting them up. God, I thank you. I thank you. What a special moment this is that you would allow me to do this and that Janet was the first one. I pray she's touched by it, God. I hope you help her to see that thousands of people reach out to me, God, and that she is the one that you chose for me to be able to do this message for her today, signifying my return back to ministering on your behalf. God, thank you. What an amazing thing you've done, Father. Thank you. Lord, I am asking you to help her to receive in her heart the truth that has been spoken. Help her, Lord God. And I pray you protect her from the lies of the devil. I pray you protect her, Father, from the passions of the flesh and of her earthly nature. And help her to put herself in a position, God, of total surrender to her, to you, rather. And Father, I'm asking you, please bless her with the grace that she needs to understand this message and the faith to walk in it, to trust you, and then to have the patience to wait upon you, to do whatever it is that pleases you most. I pray that you'll encourage her heart and encourage her spirit, Father. I pray that you'll lift her head, Father. Lift her head a daughter to the Most High King. Help her to know how much you love her and how much you want her to love you back. And God, have your way with her, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I just thank you for this. I thank you so much for this dear sister and the opportunity to share your words with her and your truths with her today. Now, bless her and keep her. And Father, I pray for those boys. God, if they have gone prodigal, I pray you let them get filthy and nasty, a lesson they've never learned. If they've not, Lord, and they've run for other reasons, in your time, Father, I pray that you'd bring it to light, but not until you've done this most important work of allowing Janet to get into a place where she says, regardless of the outcome, I trust in my God, my sovereign heavenly Father. But Lord, I do pray as a gift to her, Lord, as she trusts you, that perhaps you would give her some connection, some insight, some information about how her children are doing. But again, Father, not in a way that would get in the way of the work you're doing in her heart, but only after you see that she has really abandoned and loosened her grip and that she can be trusted with whatever information you want to give to her, God. I just pray for those boys that you'll keep them safe, but in a spiritual safe way. I'm not asking for you to spare them all the pain and suffering that happens when we go, when we become prodigal sometimes. God, have your way. And I just pray, Father, that you'll bring ministers and the truth into their life and heart at the right place at the right time. They're out there somewhere, God. You know exactly what they're doing, who they're doing it with. You know everything about their lives. Lord, I pray an opportunity comes for them to really, really humble themselves before you as God of their lives and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, not just as a Savior, but as their Lord, who they will walk before and understand and obey and love. Father, I ask all of these things in the powerful, mighty, omnipotent, omniscient, all wonderful name, Jesus Christ. Janet, God bless you and God keep you in his peace and grace as you trust him. Thank you so much for sending me the email, and may God bless you and keep you. Bye-bye.